To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Rivalry Week on The Fan.
Kenny Wayne's going to score! Kenny Wayne is going to score!
The Oregon Ducks head north to take on the Washington Huskies.
It's a little bit BS. You know, I hate the Huskies. I've never liked them.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on The Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Happy Hate Week for everybody playing a rival this weekend. Boy, juicy matchups all weekend. Alabama, you know, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head.
The Iron Bowl?
The Iron Bowl is this weekend.
Yeah.
It's the late game. I think it's the ABC primetime game on Saturday night.
He does tend to hiccup against teams he shouldn't.
Guess that line.
Alabama minus 9.5.
Okay. Swag?
The way you're saying this makes me think it's not as high as I would think it is.
Okay. So did you go lower than what you would thought? Is 9.5 lower than what you would have thought?
If you just...
You make the line for me. You be the Vegas odds maker. What's the line you put on that game?
17.5.
Holy shnikes. Okay.
I'm guessing what they came in with.
So they both played. Nobody. Auburn played like Mercer, and Alabama played Eastern.
It's Patsy
Illinois
weekend.
Or, Patsy weekend. We'll get to that in a moment.
That was fantastic, and he used to be a part of that. -6.5.
-6.5. You were both incorrect. Now, it has been bet up. The opening line on this game. You ready for this? 3.5.
Is it in Alabama?
No, it's in Auburn. It's on the road. Okay. It's a night game at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, give me the...
And Alabama fans are terrified right now.
Should be.
Which is the best part about rivalry weekend, right?
Yeah.
Should they? The last time they were there, remember, they should have lost the game. In Nick Saban's last year, they had to convert...
It was that touchdown.
That Auburn team sucked, and they converted like a 4th and 30 in the back of the end zone to win the game.
I mean, I get it.
So I heard that, though, yesterday, and I'm like, wait, what?
What's your line?
I would have said 7.5.
No, what's Oregan-Washington?
Oh, I saw 6.5, I think.
Are you shaking in your boots?
I mean, it's a rivalry game. You're always nervous.
So you're
there's
shaking
a lot
in
on
your
the
boots?
Line. I don't know if shaking in the boots is the right terminology.
I assume Bama fan
is. I'm nervous going into every game. That's just who I am as a fan. And maybe this ends up being one for Oregon and Washington this weekend. I just was blown away at that line. Like, Auburn's been a bit of a train wreck. And to have that sub 4 points to open, now it's been bet up to like 5. I think Alabama's now, a lot of money came in on them early.
I don't confidently take Alabama in that the way that I probably should.
No.
Because he just has moments where they hiccup against teams they shouldn't.
And you're on the road. Auburn's got nothing to lose. They should have beaten Georgia there earlier this year. Like, they've had games like that where they've had good teams on the road.
The one thing I noted and I forgot to bring up last week when they lost to Oklahoma, did you watch any of the they're coming out of the tunnel stuff?
For Auburn?
For
Alabama?
Bama and
I
Oklahoma.
Did not, no.
I don't know if he's been doing this all year because I've seen a couple of their games like from start to finish, but I noticed something about DeBoer in that game that I hadn't really seen. He came out fired up and was like punching the field goal post, like slapping it, like screaming in a way that I've not seen him act.
That doesn't really seem like his style.
Right, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to try to open up a can today. And then Oklahoma proceeded to cause 3 turnovers and beat them straight up. And
that
so
happened.
I don't know what to make of that line. That's well below what I would have guessed it. Now, 17, that's probably too disrespectful in a rivalry weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give Washington their due. They're at Washington. Anything can happen in these games, but your talent differences and where you guys are at this year, you should not
If you're a playoff team, you win the game, right? Like, that's kind of what you say about a lot of these games. If you're a playoff team, you win the game. You find a way to win it. Speaking of SEC week, I want to get to something Dan Lanning said, because this caused a little bit of a dust storm this weekend. People in SEC country were not happy about that. So let me just preface this by saying I have to suffer through listening to Kirk Herbstreit in the midst of a 35-10 Georgia win over Texas tell me that Texas hasn't been eliminated from the playoff contention. I have to suffer through that. That's okay to be said on network television, but this is not okay to say.
Well, we just played a really good team. We beat them. And a lot of times we play really good teams that become unranked all of a sudden. That's not our fault, right? Maybe it is our fault, but... all we're worried about is playing the teams that we play and doing the job that we need to do. And we did that job today, right? I think proof's in the pudding, right? Played a good team. We beat them, right? All we can do next week is try to do the same thing, right? And this conference is a really good conference. It's competitive, right? We didn't play Chattanooga State today, right? Like some other places, right? We competed. So, you know, that being said, it's tough playing 9 conference games. It's tough playing in this league. And we got to take advantage of playing a good team today and attacking that.
Ooh, Chattanooga State, shots fired.
I mean, I don't know what you get upset about. He's just
saying
the truth.
I don't get why SEC fans are so pissed about this. But it was pretty funny. This caused a dust storm in almost every SEC market.
Well, it's a joke. It's why
who have you played? You play Montana State? Right. Look at your non-conference schedule. You didn't play anybody. Oh, what about when you play Minnesota? It's Minnesota, any good? What about Northwestern? Just start yelling. Like, dude, first off, calm down. We have to deal with SEC propaganda 365 days a year. It never ends. Your conference is the greatest thing on the earth, even though you've gone back-to-back years without playing for a national championship game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting that happened. The SEC is a good conference. Nobody disagrees with it. It's absolute horse ass that they get to do this at the end of the year.
It is, which is why they're going to 9 conference games.
It's exactly why they're going to 9.
Will we get rid of the Patsy, though, or will it just be moved up the conference game?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think they're getting rid of it. See how they do it.
I think they want the Patsy before the rivalry
They're
week.
Maintaining that they have to put. The other part of it was, and I gave the SEC a ton of credit when they did this, because they've gone on easy street in the scheduling department for a long time. Their teams don't often travel very far. They get a lot of their neutral site games in their own backyard. They get the cupcake week at the end of the season. I get how much of a grinder the SEC schedule is. I understand that. You also get a third bye, because you already got 2, and then you get this game at the end of your season, and that shouldn't be allowed in college football when other teams are getting banged up and injured playing physical contests. But one of the things the SEC did was they said 9 conference games, and they're maintaining it to play 10 Power 5 teams.
Yeah.
So maybe you get a cupcake early and a cupcake late still, and then mix in a Power 5, so they might keep it, but that's not easy to do. You're only going to have 3 non-conference games, and one of them has to be a power opponent.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it develops and how it plays out, but I mean, look, I've never liked it. I've never really understood why it was just okay to play the Citadel in your second to last week. But look, those fans are always going to get upset by any and everything that's a slight towards the conference. It's why they are the power conference.
Yes.
They care the most.
No doubt about it.
Half of the Big Ten fans don't care even to that level. Like, you can make fun of the Big Ten. It's not going to be that loud of backlash. You dare call out that Ole Miss played the Citadel, or that Marcel Reed sat after the first quarter of A&M's game this weekend.
First quarter.
I mean, barely put any work, and he got the rest.
He had 3 touchdowns in the first quarter, and they're like, all right, we're playing Samford. This game is over.
It's why they care so greatly about it. I love
Lanning taking that shot, dude. I love it.
They're allowed to take
shots all the time.
He knows what he's doing.
Why does he have to do this to convince the committee? It's not about that. It's just about, I don't know. The SEC's allowed to brag and, you know, talk about beat their chest and all that stuff. The Big Ten is not a great conference from top to bottom. There's nobody even inside the Big Ten that would argue that. But they do have some pretty damn good teams at the top of the conference. Why not puff your chest out a little bit?
How would you feel being a college quarterback and a world-renowned comedic podcast host is dating your mom?
It's a very weird situation going on at Vanderbilt right now. Not only is he he showed up. Theo Von is dating, or, you know, allegedly dating.
We don't know this for certain.
Diego Pavia's mom.
Yeah, Diego Pavia's mom was seen.
He showed up at, he was out there for senior day.
He was on the
field. With his mom.
Yeah. Mom's wearing thigh-high boots, by the way.
I think it's a bit of a, like, you know, let's generate some attention and get some, you know, this is kind of a funny bit is what it seems like to me.
Let's pretend we're hooking up for the bit.
It's kind of the vibe I'm getting, but...
Who's the podcast host you'd least want your mom to be hooking up with right now? Like, you just walk in, Joe Rogan's making eggs in your kitchen.
Good morning, Dirt.
That's what that clapping noise was, huh? Damn it, Joe.
There's too many to choose from. I can't pick one.
No?
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Okay.
What helps ease the pain of a triple backdoor?
Nothing eases the pain
of easy eggs with hash browns.
Nothing.
If you're going to be there with my mom, at least.
Good morning, little Brandon. Breakfast. How are you? You want some over easy eggs? What are you in the mood for this morning?
I'll make us some eggs and baby boy, just butt naked.
What do you got?
Want some eggs, Jody?
Jody! Landon gets everybody fired up at SEC Country. I got a couple lingering thoughts on that, some numbers behind it, and a phenomenal troll job from one team. Get to that coming up, and then the Blazers are back in action and some more NFL to come this hour. We're back after this on 105.1 FM, The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 9:17 on your Monday morning. May or may not have some controversy. We'll get to it coming up in a bit. A couple of lingering thoughts on the game. We talk a lot about it, by the way. If you want to go back, check the podcast. Josh Pate was on the show at 6:30 this morning. He had some great stuff. He was in Eugene this weekend, and we talked to him at length about it, and we broke it down. But a couple of things that we haven't talked about yet that I wanted to point out.
Yeah.
Dante Moore has been an interesting guy this year, right? Came in, it's all, let's joke about pick sixes. He's going to get benched after the non-conference slate. Okay, that didn't happen. And then he went through the ebbs and flows and the highs and lows of a season, right? Like, he really struggled against Indiana. And we said it at the time. And the Wisconsin game was kind of ugly. I think you've seen the last 2 weeks a quarterback who has played tremendous football. And the USC passing attack was going to get a lot of attention going into the game and coming out of the game, because they hit a lot of deep shots and they had 230 passing yards at halftime, right? So we're going to focus a lot on them. I thought Dante Moore played one of his best games of the season, considering his entire offensive line was essentially out and they were left with no wide receivers to throw to. There was a moment that Jeremiah McClellan went down with a shoulder injury early in the game and they had to go work on it. I think on Oregon's first or second drive, it was early, that they legitimately had three scholarship wide receivers left.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So you've got nothing to work with outside of the guy who I said on Friday has to be the show on offense, especially if the injuries are true with USC, because their safeties, it sounded like, was going to miss the game. They did end up missing the game. And it's just a moment to talk about two guys who I were looking at, where do they go? Are they coming back for another year? How do they fit into the next level? Are they first-round picks? People have been critical of Dante at times and critical of Sadiq at times. That was not the case coming out of this weekend's game.
The Sadiq catch and the double team, which, by the way,
that throw, too.
Like, it's a good throw.
Man.
It's a great catch because you're taking a hit and you're having to hold the ball.
Yep.
He was fantastic. I could be wrong on this because, you know, college football teams have shown that they have an ability to keep their players when we don't expect to. I'd be a little surprised if Sadiq stayed. I don't think that's a debate for me. I know pundits have been questioning a little bit. His last 2 weeks have been really pivotal for, I think, his growth, the Minnesota game, and now what he did on Saturday when they, indeed, as you point out, they needed him bad.
For his team. They got nobody, no receivers to throw the ball to right now. He's got to step up, and he has the last 2 weeks.
I think Benson's been pretty good for you the last couple weeks. That's not just the punt return, but like the diving, kind of crawling catch that he had on the sidelines. I'm with you on Dante. Outside of one little blip throw with kind of interesting coverage by USC that led to the interception.
Yeah, he got fooled there.
I thought he was really good because the minute you think a guy's rattled is the next possession, he didn't indicate that at all. Nice little blurb to wake up to and read from The Athletic on a couple of their pundits that cover the draft. Our guy Dane Brugler basically said he thinks Dante staying in the draft versus staying at Oregon is entirely dependent on how they do in the playoff. And I don't know if that is the case, but his read is the scouts think if Oregon goes on a real run, as Josh Pate highlights, might still be a title contender. If they go on a real run, it might be hard for him to come back because he might be in the position of you're going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And how often do you see that, right? And that doesn't always go well for guys that decide to come back when they're in that position. But if it's they host a playoff game and they lose, I think most people locally here reporting and just giving opinion tend to think he's coming back next year, which that's always been kind of the narrative for Oregon going in. It's been flipped a little bit here and there throughout the season.
It's kind
of gone
up and down. Early in the year, it's like, this guy's a top 10 pick, to, man, Dante Moore kind of sucks, to, man, Dante Moore's kind of good again.
But I think that's kind of what the team was, right?
Yeah.
It was like, hey, they're built more for next year, but they could make the playoff this year. Oh my God. I think they're the best team in college football. They might be really, I don't know about that anymore. Well,
that's exactly how the year's
it's just kind of up and down as a roller coaster. So I don't know what to believe. I think Sadiq is gone, but he's been so clutch for you. And if this is who you're going to get the rest of the way, my God, man. Like, you hope DeCorian comes back. We'll see on Bryant, but Benson's been really good for them. So has Johnson, by the way, the backup.
Jamari Johnson's been outstanding.
Money in blocking and catching. So great weekend, I think, for Sadiq and Dante.
Big weekend for both of them. We'll see how the draft stuff shakes out. I mean, that's months, or I shouldn't say months, weeks in advance, right? We'll see how the rest of the season ends. They got Washington. They got to get through on Saturday.
Can I ask how you felt about, we mentioned the roller coaster, the up and down nature of player. And I think team to a certain extent. How have you felt about Stein through this season?
I think Will Stein has had, without a doubt, his best year as offensive coordinator. I think offensive coordinator is the spot
better
that
than the last year with Bo.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. When you consider, like, do
explain.
They returned one starter on offense. One. That was it. And to have an offense that's functioning at this level. That year, Oregon benefited greatly from staying healthy the majority of the season. They have not had to deal with a lot of injuries in the last couple of years under Lanning. Mm-hmm. And it's weird right now where it feels like almost every injury they have is on one side of the ball. I feel like everybody defensively is healthy and playing. Nobody's going down. Knock on wood that continues. Everybody on offense is hurt. They don't have receivers to throw the ball to. Their offensive line is banged up. Their quarterback has missed time. He broke his nose against Wisconsin. One of their top running backs coming into the year is now out.
Yeah.
The guy they brought in the portal that everybody thought was going to run for 2,000 yards hasn't played at all.
Yeah.
He's a complete afterthought.
Remember, he's redshirted, didn't
3 weeks into the year, remember when everybody's like, where's Mekhi Hughes? Why isn't Mekhi Hughes running the ball? Well, because they got damn good running backs on their roster.
Yeah,
that's
D. Harrell's been up and down.
Yeah, like it's just they have been outstanding, and they have had to win games based on personnel and weather in a multitude of ways that has been incredibly impressive to me. Now, that is not to take away from moments that I'm screaming along with every other fan of, why are you getting, like, the tight end quarterback sneak to open the second half on fourth down. I was in the press box, so I couldn't yell, but internally just know I was yelling out loud.
They've done that. No, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I agree. Like, hand it off to the guy who's
just
getting fired.
Just run the ball. But he's running it for 5 yards a carry.
But they've done that sneak play a couple times this year
with
the tight end.
They have.
That's the Seahawks do the tush push with their tight end.
But you also are in a spot where who was out of the game at that moment? Their starting center was out of the game at that moment.
Yeah.
Where does the tush push go?
Right
behind
the
center's butt. Yeah. And you got, like, I hated that play call. I think sometimes he can get a little too cute in certain moments. That's my only criticism of him. But when you go back to the Indiana game, I think he learned his lesson of we have found what our identity is as an offense, and we're going to run the football, and that's going to be our strength. We're going to be physical, downhill. We got these backs that can come after you, and then Dante Moore is going to work off of that.
Right.
And I think they now know their identity, but considering the injuries that they've gone through and some of the defenses that they've had to play, mainly the Iowa game where they ran the ball for 230 yards in a variety of looks when you literally couldn't throw it because the weather was so bad and your receivers were hurt, I think Will Stein has had a tremendous, tremendous year.
Yeah, I think the cute thing, too, is like, I don't know if we've ever seen a play caller who doesn't.
Every single one of them
is going to
have
right?
a moment where they get a wild hair up their nose and they want to call a trick play.
And by the way,
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And that's the thing is cute is really subjective. It's all based on results,
yes.
right? So like it's easy to say, and I feel why you're that way of like watching, like why would you run with that guy instead of you have a better player?
But to your point, if it works, I'm probably, you know.
Well, the Giants did a cute play to score first against the Lions, but if that play didn't work, that looks like a stupid ass yep. play. It's like, let's do a double reverse back to Jameis toss that goes deep to Robinson. Yeah, and if that's picked off, it's a stupid play.
Use USC as an example. In their loss to Notre Dame, they tried the wide receiver pass play in the rain, and Mekhi Lemon fumbled the ball,
right,
and
right.
they turned it over. And it was. And what happened this weekend? They called it again, and Mekhi Lemon threw a touchdown pass.
I think if we're being honest with each other, and I know it's not the same playing video games, we all did trick plays playing video games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible yeah. not to try some stuff once in a while, and if the tight end pushed, you might not like it in general. If it succeeds, we're not even bringing it up.
Totally fair. That is the blessing and the curse of analyzing a play call.
100%.
Because nobody says a damn word if the play works. But if it doesn't, it's immediately, why the hell did you call that? And we're all guilty of that as fans. But I think he's had a really, like, considering the injuries that they've gone through, I'd be curious throughout the course of the week just to watch who's going to be able to play against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
World played about 16 snaps, so he should be able to play. He didn't get re-injured during the game, so he should be okay. Poncho got kicked in the back of the leg.
He was on the sideline still hyping up his boys,
seeming like he
though.
Was going to go, and I wondered if that was more similar of like, hey, Pickard came in and he's doing fine, so let's just see
like
if we need you.
Like Dante against Wisconsin,
yeah,
right?
Like we think we can win this game without mm-hmm. you. Harkey's been dealing, like he missed the Iowa game and he got rolled up on. It looked like an ankle injury. None of them are season ending, so that's the encouraging sign, but how many of them will be available on Saturdays? Your guess is as good as mine.
Unfortunately for your program, we don't know what is season ending there. Because they don't tend to want to announce that stuff.
That is true.
I just think, given what we've seen against Washington, you know, getting a DeCorian and a Gary Bryant back, I don't know where either of those guys are. I thought we would see DeCorian this weekend, but we didn't. So, and that was a non-contact injury, according to the sauces of the message
sauces.
Boards out there.
Yes.
So you get them back, and it kind of be what Pate said, right? Like, they should be, for most people, in the title conversation. If you can run the football like that, and you can play elite defense, you should be in the conversation. They also might be sitting in a spot where they don't get that recognition, but they're also getting healthy at the right time.
Yeah. I think they're a team that if they get healthy, they're a team you definitely don't want to face. If they're this banged up going into the playoffs,
it's like a wild card.
How long can you go? I don't know. Playing USC's defense is a little bit different than playing Notre Dame's defense, if you will. But I wanted to give the flowers to those two guys. Like they desperately needed Sadiq to have a big game. He was massive for them in so many different ways. And Dante had the one throw where he just got kind of confused by the coverage and a nice play by Urlacher to tip it,
yep.
make the play and catch it. But outside of that, there were not a lot of balls that were in harm's way. I thought the first touchdown to Sadiq under pressure off play action was a great throw. The one that you mentioned that he held onto in double coverage was great. He had one down the field in a tight window to McClellan. Like he made a lot of NFL type throws this weekend. And I think it was a spotlight game for him to the point on the NFL conversation of that was really the only juicy matchup in all of college football this weekend. There were a lot of eyes on that game, and he showed out. He had a great game.
I don't know if you went back and rewatched the whole game.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Okay, so if you're fast-forwarding through commercials, I don't know what you remember. The broadcast dropped to just a golden nugget. You know, I'd like to have Kenyon Sadiq on my team. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
I'd also like a guy built
Thank
out
you.
Of stone. Catching every football above his head as if it's no big deal. It's a little tennis ball to his hands.
I was standing about 5 feet away from him pregame as he goes through like a band warm-up routine where essentially one of the trainers holds him back and he's doing these, you know, side shuffles and different things to warm up. And
Is he the most impressive specimen
yes,
physically you've ever seen up close?
Like Darnell Washington, the tight end at Georgia at the time, was just so big that you're like, that guy's a tight end. And I think he was number zero at Georgia, if I'm not wrong. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember just being like, holy crap. Oregon's in for a long day just because of the sheer size of him. When you see Sadiq and you realize how good of an athlete it is, it doesn't compute in your brain.
Yeah, like if I was to do measurements,
his
physically,
pants were ripped in the pre. Like his pants around his hamstring,
Incredible Hulk pants. He's wearing pants that are gonna get ripped because they're too small for him.
It just was like, you're already bursting out of everything, and the game hasn't even started yet.
Your measurements at the combine mixed with tape. Good luck to any NFL general manager. But I'll tell you, if I need a tight end and I'm in the middle of the first and nobody's offering me trade stuff, how do you not watch the touchdown catch with two defenders? He's just holding the ball up above his head, getting hit by two guys and coming down screaming.
Yeah.
How do you not? I'm going to roll the dice with
this guy. I'll take that guy.
Is he Kyle Pitts? Is he Gronk? I have no idea.
Somebody made the comp recently that I thought was pretty good. Now, this is a lofty thing to live up to in the NFL, but use Vernon Davis as an example of a guy who's like
a freak athlete.
Good blocker, can run away from you. Like, you can line him up at wide receiver and be okay. And I was like, that's a good comp.
It took Vernon a couple years to adapt, but once he did, especially under the Harbaugh
era. Want winners.
Yeah.
We want winners.
He got ejected from a game by his coach.
Yes, he did. And then his coach took his pants off in the locker room.
And next year he cried because he got a game-winning touchdown playoff pass.
One last note on the game, and then we'll go and we can make fun of Danny for it. Appears being a bet welcher, maybe. No face paint. Okay.
He's double-dipping the bet, I would say.
Oh, okay.
So he's wearing a green polo.
I didn't hear what he said because we were coming back. Yeah. He walked in right at the end.
Wearing a green polo.
Okay.
His makeup order on Amazon did not arrive,
so he's still going to pay off
the makeup, but also give you your green polo.
Totally fine.
We
didn't say what day it had to be, and he's got a Blazer game tonight. I'm totally fine with the face paint being tomorrow. One last note on it. You know me, I'm a good troll. I love a good troll, love a good petty. I'm a pretty petty person. Oregon's captains for the game. They sent out three captains for the game. Bear Alexander, who is the best defensive lineman on the field, you can argue. Emmanuel Pregnon, you know what their last school was? Where did they come from?
USC.
And then Mateo Uyunglele, who grew up in the heart of Los Angeles.
Everybody thought was going to go to USC.
That was Dan Lanning's three picks for captain.
Well, and I know somebody tagged us because I also caught wind that when they scored a touchdown, they played They Not Like Us.
They played They Not Like Us the entire game.
I think we know what the us versus them will be this week.
I think we get a theme. I think They're Not Like Us. That's the theme of the week. Let's get into the Blazers 1-1 over the weekend. They take on Milwaukee tonight. That is still to come. Well, tough news for one NFL franchise. This came out about 10 minutes ago. Baker Mayfield suffered a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder. He went down last night in Sunday Night Football, if you were still sticking around and watching the game, because it was over in the first quarter.
I hung around 21-7.
Yeah.
And
Tez
then,
got the touchdown. Yeah, I stuck around a little bit.
And then he ran to the blue medical tent, and I went, oh, crap.
And then he had the last play of the first half where he tried to do a Hail Mary, and weight came down. He put his weight.
Yep.
On his left hand, and he just crumbled.
Couldn't do it. No fracture, no structural damage, they're saying. They're not ruling out him for Sunday against the Cardinals, but he's going to have another MRI, I think, today to tell more. But a sprained AC joint, he might be missing some time.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. The Bucks are, talk about getting bit by the injury bug. My team at least has gotten somewhat more healthy. They've been hurt consistently week in and week out.
Yep.
Big Monday night game in terms of their divisional race, because if Bryce Young can win in San Francisco tonight, one, I will tell you guys right now, I will be absolutely depressed and demoralized. That will be, as we mentioned last week, a top five quarterback beating you that pisses you off the most.
This will be an all-timer for you, because just like I have been on J.J. McCarthy, you have been on Bryce Young since the second he stepped into the NFL.
And I like Bryce Young. He's a nice kid.
Sure.
But come on, man. He's 5'8". If they win tonight, they're in the thick of that playoff race.
I think they're in first. Are they not in first place with a win tonight?
They will take over first place by a half game.
Because the Bucks are now 6-5, right?
Yeah, they would be 7-5.
It's not a divisional game, so I don't know what the divisional records would be. And he'll sort itself out, but
I digress.
You have to start considering the Panthers are going to win that division if Baker's going to miss extended time. But again, maybe a week off. If you can't beat the Cardinals with Teddy Bridgewater, maybe you're not a playoff team.
Maybe not a playoff team. So that's going on in the NFL right now. Friday night, lost in the shuffle. Not a ton, but a little bit. I'd kind of forgotten the game. I do that sometimes. You kind of get on weekend mode.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's right. Something's going on. And I turn on your Portland Trailblazers were playing Friday night down in the Bay Area.
In a cup game.
It was a cup game.
My family got super into this.
Who got super into this?
My family.
Everybody was into the cup?
I turned it on to see it, and they were like...
They were cupping?
Well, my daughter's got a huge crush on Steph.
Ah, okay.
She actually was rooting for the Warriors.
They're excited about the floor, huh?
Well, that floor is infinitely better than ours.
That floor is perfectly fine. If you want to go a light gray floor for everybody, why did they get the only... Are they the only team that gets a light gray? We have to have... stupid
colors.
Yeah,
how did they avoid highlighter yellow?
Yes, or that's blue, or a baby blue, or like, it's just, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm watching this game almost not believing what I'm seeing, if that makes any sense. They gave up nearly 50 points in the second quarter, Portland did. Yeah. Steph Curry, like, if I just told you going into the game that Steph is going to go 14 of 23 from the floor, 9 of 17 from 3, and have 38 points.
We get mopped.
Your thought is they're going to get killed. There's no chance here. Portland won the game.
It was the Caleb Love game.
Caleb Love.
City Sissoko game.
The Caleb Love and City Sissoko.
Caleb Love, you'll get one of those a
combined
month.
Combined for 40, 51 points, something like that.
Denny had 13 dimes.
Yes, he had almost another triple-double.
The Klinger, he had 22 and 10.
He was great.
And the Klinger's starting to put it together a little bit.
He is starting to play a little better ball
more
right
aggressive.
Now.
I like what I'm seeing so far.
Because he had that big game where it was in the comeback.
He had the 22 rebound
game. 22 rebound
game
where he was so massive for
them. The comeback, non-comeback.
Exactly, the comeback, non-comeback. And then everything came back down to earth yesterday. But a very Blazery weekend of, I don't know how the hell that happened, and yep, there it was. They lost by 87 points to OKC.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't that bad,
I mean,
you get my point.
You know,
they play Milwaukee tonight. What do we need to know about Milwaukee? No Giannis.
Giannis is out. That's what you need to know. It's a 1.5
Who else do they
have?
How many
spread.
Other Bucks do I know?
Do you know Green? White Cat got extended this year.
Miles Turner.
I'm assuming his name is not Green White Cat.
No,
he's a white cat with the name of Green.
He is, yeah.
Okay, I've AJ never heard Green. Of Green White Cat. AJ is Green?
AJ, yeah.
You've never. Seen AJ Green play.
Have I? How long has he been in the league?
A couple years now. He just got extended. They got Cole Anthony.
Okay, I know Cole Anthony.
Kuzma, who can forget?
Can Cole Anthony shoot?
No.
No, but he's kind of feisty. Okay. Run the fast break, play a little defense, good defender.
I'm not Googling AJ Green.
I mean, look, you're a one
I don't know AJ Green, dude.
Gary Northern Trent
Iowa?
Jr.?
I know. He can chuck. He was our Caleb Love before Caleb Love.
Did you watch a single Buck game last year?
How many times did they play Portland?
Twice.
I watched him twice.
Then you watched AJ Green.
And then
play.
How many games did they play in the playoffs before they lost to Indiana? Five? Six? When did they lose it? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember Dame rupturing his Achilles. I remember that moment.
You'll see AJ Green and go,
I'll recognize
that guy.
Him. Yeah. Northern Iowa shooter, a white. Is he crafty? Is he feisty? Is he a gym rat?
Hyper athletic.
Yeah, he is.
He's kind of nice. Mm. Got kind of an interesting jump shot motion.
Okay.
I mean, it's an opportunity to win another game, but you're a one-point dog for a reason.
They are a one-point underdog.
What do you want me to say about them? I don't know
what
to make of them.
I'm just asking.
It's literally
know.
Every game, whether it's the
sense.
Bucks without Giannis or the Warriors with Curry, it kind of doesn't matter.
No. Is Caleb Love going to get hot tonight? Is maybe the only thing that matters for the outcome of this game.
I'm going to assume they get railroaded until they don't, and then Sissoko and Caleb Love win the game for him.
Giannis, Kevin Porter Jr.'s out, too.
Yeah, I don't think Porter's played a whole lot.
I mean,
year.
They got some injury breaks right now because they are banged up, but you're taking on Milwaukee without Giannis, and then your next game is San Antonio on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and there's obviously no Wemby in that game. And so you get back-to-back teams without their best player, so you got that going for you.
You know what you need to know about Milwaukee? They've lost six of their last seven games.
Since Giannis went down, I'm assuming, or he was
they're
down.
8-9.
Yeah, somewhere in that timeline. All right, well, they're in action tonight. Early start. I love those. 5 o'clock tip. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Keep an eye on their point guard, too, Rollins. Because I haven't watched all the Bucks games, but Rollins has been a nice little story for them this year.
Okay.
Not as hot lately, but he had a nice start for himself. Their starting lineup's going to be Portis, Kuzma, Turner, Green, and Rollins.
Okay, all right.
And then you've got Jericho Sims off the bench.
Is Thanasis going to play?
Thanasis played 2 minutes in the last game.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Andre Jackson's a sneaky little player. Gary Trent Jr., Cole Anthony.
See, this is why you're here. I needed my Bucks scouting report. Now I know what to know.
Yeah, but you don't know what Portland's going to be.
That is true. Well, I do. I don't know how they're going to play, but I know who's playing.
Donovan and Denny, save us. And then Caleb, please make your shots.
Danny said something last week that made me laugh, but I actually think is 100% spot on. Like, there's a level of respect for a guy like Caleb Love having the confidence to never stop shooting.
Why would
why would he not have that? Because there's a lot of players that don't have that. Like, you start 0 for 4, there's a lot of guys that get triggered. Like, you're scared to pull the trigger again, and you start passing. It's like, dude, you were on this team to do one thing and one thing only. We have nobody that can score off the bench right now. You're really the only one. So if you don't do it, we got nobody else. And he's either going to go 1 of 11 or 9 of 14 and score 29 points. That was his entire career at North Carolina and Arizona. Yeah. Every time you watch, I'm still butthurt because he knocked Oregon out of the tournament. And it was a good Caleb Love game. He came out and made his shots.
He's a mini Chuck.
And then the
person.
Next night, he's 3 of 16. But he will never not shoot the ball.
How many times in Caleb Love's life has he got on the court and not been the best player?
That's a good question.
This is probably the first year of his life.
Without a doubt.
So why would his mindset not be, it's Caleb Love time, baby? Like, that's his whole basketball life.
He for sure talks in the third person,
100%.
Too. 100%.
He looks in the mirror
Love's
and goes,
going off tonight, baby.
He is the meme. He looks in the mirror and goes, it's you. You're going to win the game.
You get in there and make
Caleb,
this about you.
You've got this. That's his whole existence. I just love watching it when he's on
Keep
a heater,
chucking.
And I laugh when he can't get it, but he doesn't care. He keeps shooting.
That was one of those Blazer memories you'll have of a vintage Steph game in their arena that the NBA is trying to tell me counts more than a regular season game, spoiled by Caleb Love.
Do you guys buy the Warriors as a contender in any way?
Not really.
Because Jimmy hasn't felt like playoff Jimmy since playoff Jimmy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they have a vibe of them of like the regular season, like just get him in the dance and then see what happens.
Well, good luck with that feeling, with that Thunder team and the Nuggets.
Like, I know. The Thunder seem like a wagon. So
I think they're
nobody's beating them.
Yeah, I don't think they might go 81-1.
They very well could. And that one loss came too?
Us.
That's right, baby.
Down 22.
Blazers back in action. Monday Night Football is tonight. We'll get to that and some final NFL thoughts as we close it up on a Monday next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, nice little juicy Monday in sports. Thanksgiving week, an underrated sports week of the year, right? You get your Thursday college football, or your Thursday NFL football, your Friday college football. There's a Friday NFL game. We got basketball tournaments going on everywhere.
A lot of college hoop tournaments going on. Maui Invitational.
That's right.
Who Sounds are the... like the Maui Invitational might be, I mean, one, it's back at the Lahaina Civic Center.
Okay.
So that's good. You'll find out, I'm sure they'll have some features on how the rebuild is
touche.
Going.
Oh, touche. I totally forgot about that.
I've seen the rebuild area.
But the prof. It's yeah, it's
still
a long time.
Empty. Trees are still around.
Yeah. The tough part is the tournament that the Ducks are playing in, the New Era Festival.
Where is this one?
This is in Vegas. It's
Vegas.
The second year of it. This is the one that has NIL prize money for.
Well, we need some of that. We're
the
struggling
winning teams.
Financially.
But the Ducks won last year.
You guys are on after the Impractical Jokers tonight.
You're damn right we are. We're taking on the Nepo Pearl.
Yeah, the Fighting Pearls.
There's
the Fighting Nepo Pearls.
The Maui Invitational might.
Go the way of the dodo.
You should get a pearl necklace for this win tonight.
I might have to tonight, taking them down. I'll keep an eye on that. 5 o'clock tip, you said?
5 o'clock, yes. They're taking on 22nd ranked Auburn, and then tomorrow night's the late game, 8 p.m., they get San Diego State.
Okay,
did we, Swag, you judge us here. Did we do the right job or the wrong job not discussing Shedeur Sanders today?
You did the right job. And you did the same job that Kevin Stefanski did.
Yeah.
He was focused on the defensive effort. Miles,
I mean,
Garrett.
Shador was fine this weekend. I just,
people were on the internet at least. Of which course, is like they were fake. But
Tim Tebow won a playoff game, and he was the next coming.
Shador
of Joe
didn't
Montana.
Get a game ball. There was only one given out, and I think it was to Miles Garrett because Miles Garrett had like a 40-point.
Dude, they had
day.
10 yeah. sacks. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they won the game. They had 10 sacks.
Yeah. Also,
there was a quarterback that got bent in half in that game, if you will, and it was not Shador Sanders.
Should have had two touchdowns, too.
Yeah.
One was tackled at, like, the four, and then he had a nice long pass to Judy, who ended up fumbling like an idiot.
That was really funny. Yeah, I mean, he was good. He was good in the game. I just, some of this stuff is a little over the blade. Let's just give it a couple
weeks.
It's a
no-win situation for Stefanski.
I disagree. It was a win situation. They won the game.
They did win the game.
Yeah.
They did
it's
win the game.
It's a team effort.
Are they happy that they won the game and cost themselves draft positioning?
Well,
we've now reached that time of year.
That's certainly a fair thing.
They're not going anywhere. Do they want a top five pick?
Well, what's the order right now?
I believe Titans won.
I think the
Titans
are still
one. Yeah, there's the probability says the Titans have the best chance.
And I don't
at
know
the
if
one pick.
Vegas is now two.
Here, let me see. It's bottom.
Vegas is top three for sure.
It'd be Titans, Giants, Jets, Saints, Raiders.
Wow.
Browns are tied with the Cardinals and the Commies at 3-8.
Yeah. Vikings right now would be a top 10 draft picking team.
Well, once you get that 10th pick, though, then you uncork the bottle.
Then it goes,
just
he
needs
like that.
More weapons.
Niners and Panthers on Monday Night Football. Are we excited for Niners and Panthers? I know your answer, Sprager.
I don't know that we're excited. We're curious.
Most of America shouldn't be excited for this game, if we're
the
being honest.
The outcome is important.
Seven-point line on the game still?
I saw seven and a half.
Seven and a half?
It's gone down to seven. But well, yes.
North of a touchdown now?
Rolling on that. Might do alternate spread, minus 28.
Roll Niners.
Might be Niners minus 45. Break that little boy.
The result of this
Bryce
game.
Bryce Young being the
incredibly
Niners
important.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now. If they win,
everybody
will be trolled.
Yes, you will be trolled.
And I will be in an absolutely sour-ass mood tomorrow. It will make or break my Tuesday.
Because this might make
seven
or break them
half
making the
right
playoffs,
now.
Too. Yeah, 7.5.
I'm rolling the Niners.
Rolling the Niners tonight.
Hey, they're not a very good team on the road.
No, I mean, look, the Panthers are not good. You know, we all know how we feel about the Panthers.
Guard
on this
McMillan,
show.
And you should be okay here. But Rico Dowdle also.
Dowdle's having a good
player,
year. Yeah. So that's going on tonight. Monday Night Football, college basketball tournaments tipping off.
Yep.
It's going to be a fun little Monday night. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. Short week. Quick work week for us. Only two more shows to go.
I know. I'm sad about it.
We got to talk after the show. We want to jam in the next 2 days. How many segments can we get in?
We need to go Ole Miss this week.
Go to Ole Miss for
I
the ticker.
I think we need an Ole Miss guest. Yeah. Yes, it's a big week for them.
That's a Black Friday game at 9 a.m.
Why are you announcing that you're announcing it after the game? Like,
I don't know.
If you win, you're in.
I don't know.
And then what if the announcement is not good news?
I know.
Quite a James Worth we got ourselves
good
in
luck,
here.
Ole Miss. If you missed it, Josh Pate joined us fresh and early this morning at 6:30 off of his trip to Eugene this weekend. So go check that out, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, and at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Like the video on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm of Harrison Meringue is next. Listening to 1051 FM The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.